So good morning again. Thank you so much for being here. I didn't introduce myself earlier, but my name's Ron. I'm a lead pastor here. So I'm so thankful that you're here with us. And as you can kind of tell, today's going to be one of those interesting messages that it's just kind of hard to deal with. There's going to be some nerves that are probably going to be touched. And so today I want us to be ready for what God has for us, because I think this is one of those questions that that we certainly ask a lot, and that's what this series has been about. It's been about the question why, you know, asking God why certain things happen and why we go through certain things, and trying to get an understanding of what that looks like. And so today we're going to continue that that same thread of just these why questions. And this is one of the most commonly asked, because we ask it as believers, but then as believers we also get asked this question a lot: why do bad things happen to good people? It's one of the things that I believe for a lot of people, it's the reason why they have a hard time believing in God himself, because they have a hard time wrapping their head around how a good God, if he is as good as we say he is and as good as his word says he is, then why in the world could things happen the way that they happen? Why could bad things happen to people we see as good and innocent and all of those things? And so that's kind of where we're at today. Because see, what happens in the church, we have this saying, right, that that somebody will say, God is good. See, we know that we're kind of conditioned that when somebody says God is good, the Christian response to that is, all the time. And all the time? Right. That's how we operate, right? That's almost like a spiritual truth that we hold tight to, that God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. So if that is true, then how in the world can bad things happen to good people? If he's so good, then why does he let those kind of things happen to people we see as innocent? And so the chances are, if you've asked that question before, you know, don't feel bad, because people have been asking it forever. You know, I mean, can we be honest in the room for a second? First, why are y'all all over there and nobody's over here? That's a question I have. Why? But anyway, never mind. So if you've ever asked, that was a shiny silver squirrel that's just, I had to get it out or I'd be sitting here, it'd be bothering me the whole thing. But anyway, so if you've ever asked the question, why do bad things happen to good people, just can we just be honest and just say, I've asked it, and there's nothing wrong with it. But if you kind of see that there's a lot of hands raised, we've asked it, and then, of course, we've been asked that question, and we hear it all the time. So that question has been there. Why, God? Why could you let something like that happen to somebody like that? Why could that happen? And tragically, listen, we're all in that boat. Tragically, there have been people who've had to ask questions about of God. Why, God, would you let that person abuse me? Why, God, would you let my marriage fall apart? Why, God, when I cried out to you to come help, why would you just let a marriage, two people who really wanted to see things happen good, why would you let that not happen? God, why is it that when we try to conceive a child because it's something that we desire so much, why couldn't that happen? Or why could you let us get pregnant but not get to the point to let us experience all the things that come along with it? Why would you let that happen, God? Why is it that you would let me lose my job? Why would you take my job away from me, God, when I need to provide for my family? Why would you do that? Why is it, God, that everybody else is getting married and I'm not? Why, God, why are you letting that happen? We ask those questions of so many areas of my life. Kelly and I, my wife Kelly and I, this week, as we kind of get to Mother's Day, some of you know some of our story, but when it gets to Mother's Day, it's really difficult, because on Mother's Day, 12 years ago, we lost a child at 5 months, and And it was a difficult weekend, to say the least. And we had to kind of go through Mother's Day weekend knowing that the child hadn't survived. And then to get to Monday where, you know, we had to go through the, I didn't have to go through the physical part of it. But together we certainly went through the emotional part of having to, you know, to go through procedures and things like that of you know, losing our child. And you know, I asked that question. Why in the world, God, would you do that? Why would you let that happen? See, that same weekend, a man who I thought was one of the most godliest men I'd ever been around, who had been so vital in our church at that point and different things in Greensboro, that he just one day he killed himself. And so that night, we find out this that afternoon. That night, we have to go to the funeral home for his family. And I mean, it just and so it was a devastating time of why. Why would you do that, God? See, I get it. I understand why you ask that question. And so it's there. It's one of those things that we just certainly have to deal with. I think a lot of people want to give God the benefit of the doubt. They want to say, God, I know you're good, but I don't know why we're going through this. I don't know why this is the way it is. We're trying to do what you want us to do. We're trying to be the person that you want me to be. But God, I'm having to experience this anyway, and it's painful. Why? We want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but we have a hard time because it just doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't compute that things could be the way that they are and that we could try to be the person that we know we're supposed to be, but yet things just never seem to flow the way that we want it to. And so today we're gonna tackle this question of why would bad things happen to good people. And so I need to let you know up front that I know that you would love me to give you like three little cute points and maybe a poem to go with it, and we all walk out of here feeling like now we know the answer. But I got to be really honest with you that I don't know that answer. But we're going to look at some possible reasons why from the scriptures that are going to hopefully help us to be able to at least understand to some degree why would this happen, and why could it happen, and what can we do to help along the way of experiencing these types of problems. See, in the church, here's why we want to say that it always happens, right? If you've hung around church for a little bit, it's because there's sin in their life. That's what we want to put it on. Well, they must be doing something for their life to go that way. There must be something going on there for all this bad stuff to happen to them. And so that's the common churchy response, is to automatically say, well, if something bad's happening to them, there must be something bad in their life. And I got to tell you that's a real misconception that we have in the church, and it's one of those things that creates separation and division and really puts people on the outside. It's why a lot of people leave when things happen like that, because they're made to feel that way. So today we're gonna try to tackle this biblically, not just assumptions about people, because you know what happens when you assume things? Yeah, you make something out of you and me, okay? You can figure that out later. But that's what happens. And so today we're not going to assume because something bad has happened in your life that it's your fault because you did something to deserve it. We're going to hopefully help you understand that sometimes there are just reasons why, and we may not understand it now, but we may later. So why do bad things happen to good people? The first one is, maybe it's because you're a victim of a broken world. Maybe it's just because you're just a victim of the world that we live in. It's a broken world. We need to understand that since Genesis, you know, chapters 1, 2, and 3, from the beginning of time, from the very first two people that walked on this planet, it got messed up. And because of that, you know what? Sometimes things just go bad. It's we're a victim of the world we live in. It's a sinful, broken place. And sometimes stuff just happens because it's just the natural progression of all of that. You know, you try to think about, you know, what... I wonder, here's The best way I can illustrate it is, you ever notice all the dead possums on the road? I mean, there's always dead possums in Stanley County. There's a bunch of skunks too, but I'll be nice and we'll just stick to the possums. But why did that good possum, that nice sweet possum with those beautiful teeth, if you ever seen them, they ain't beautiful, they're nasty, but why in the world was he just minding his business, you know, crossing the road? He got run over and he's dead in the door now, all swole up and nasty right there. Why did that happen to this nice little possum? Why was he crossing the road anyway? You ever thought about that? Yeah, it's to get to the other side. But anyway, so that's funny. I just thought it was. Anyway, but why did he get run over? Is it the person's fault that ran over him? Is it his fault for crossing the road and living, you know, just being here? Was it his mama's fault for having him? You know, was it the Possum King's fault for sending him on a mission? I don't know. Why did it happen? It just happened because somebody put a road there. He walked across it and got run over. All right, it wasn't anybody's fault. He could have not crossed the road. The driver could have been, you know, could have swerved. There's a lot of reasons why it could have happened, but the truth is it just kind of happened because that's the way the world works. And sometimes stuff just happens to us because there's a lot of things that kind of cross, but we live in a broken world. I mean, childbirth is painful, y'all, because it's the world we live in now. I'm thankful y'all got to do it and I don't, because that, man, I couldn't make it. Thank you, women, for doing it. But that's part of it. Work is hard because of the world we live in. It's a sinful, broken place, and it's just hard. Things don't go easy because of that. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, listen, he said sometimes you're going to, you know, he didn't say you're never going to have a headache. He didn't say you're never going to have, you know, to go through something tough. You're never going to have to, you know, go through a bad, you know, relationship. You're never going to have to go through difficult times. You're never going to run out of gas when you're on your way to that job interview. He never said any of those things. In fact, this is what he said. In this world, you will what? Have trouble. You're going to have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Here's the thing, we're going to face difficult things sometimes just because of the world we live in, but God has overcome it, and it may be tough and difficult, but we don't have to let it get us. There's hope in there because he says, listen, I've overcome it even though it's messed up. And one day you and I, if we trust him and believe in him, we're going to go to a different place that isn't going to be anything like this messed up world. Thank God. And we have a hope to look forward to. And listen, the thing that we can look forward to now is that hope is with us. If we believe in him and trust in him, then we can look at our circumstances completely different. And when things come like they will and they're tough, we can know that we can see something good in it. But sometimes we're just a victim of our broken world, and things are just going to happen. There's going to be trouble. We can have hope. The second thing is this. Maybe you brought it on yourself. All right, so I said, listen, that's our go-to thing in the church, but I got to tell you that sometimes that is the reason. That maybe you brought it on yourself. You said that, Ron, that's a churchy thing, but I got to tell you, there is a reason why we say that in the church sometimes, because it is true. There's times where things have happened in my life that have not gone the way that I wanted to, that I would call bad, and they're bad because I was bad, because I didn't do things the way I knew that I was to do. There are consequences for the things that you do. I know there's a lot of police shows on lately. There's this new live PD thing that's pretty cool to watch, where they kind of go all over the country with live, you know, they're with the police officers and they're doing this stuff and all this. And I look, when you're watching that and you see it, and the guys that they're arresting get so mad at the police officers. I mean, they get so mad at the cops for arresting them. But it wasn't the cop who did 12 beer bongs earlier and came out, got in their car, drove down the road and ran and wrecked it and hurt somebody. It wasn't the cop's fault who did all of that. It was their fault. If you make a choice like that, you got to know there's going to be consequences for it. If there haven't been yet, and you've been really lucky and made it home every time, let me just tell you, you need to rethink your strategy, because sooner or later, the odds are going to be against you. And it may not be you that gets hurt, but you might become one of the bad things that happens to a good father who's taking his family out to dinner, and you come along and you take him out and kill him. And now that family's got to deal with the consequences of your sin. We need to understand that sometimes bad things happen to good people because we make bad choices. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." That means you plant it, you harvest it, and you got the fruit of it. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. When we make choices like that, we got to just know there's things coming. If we make choices and we go outside of our marriage and do things that we shouldn't do, and our marriage breaks up, then you got to know that's part of the consequences that come with it. It works like that. And so sometimes we have bad things happening to us because we choose to do that. If you go buy a $200,000 house and you go and have a $40,000 truck, and you go on a $5,000 vacation, and you come home, and your $40,000 truck is gone, guess what? It's probably because the repo man came, and it's because you made bad choices, and now you got to suffer with it. Maybe you bought, your dog on 90 days same as cash down at the pet store and came home, and Poochie's gone. You know, it's because you made a bad choice. You couldn't afford Poochie, and now repo man's even got him. See, you gotta understand that sometimes you bring some of this bad stuff on yourself, and we do that quite often. So those are a couple of things that kind of either we are responsible, or sometimes it's just the world around us. But let me give you kind of a new category to kind of think in, and it's with this one, that maybe God wants to do something big. Maybe something bad has happened to a good person, so that, because God wants to do something big in them or through them or just around them. Maybe God wants to do something big. Maybe we go through sometimes we have to go through some hurting things to see God do some things that only he can do. To bring healing to other places, sometimes we got to go through difficult time. So there's an account in the Bible in John chapter 9 where this man is blind. And think about that. Think about what it would be like to not have your sight, to not be able to see anything. And just close your eyes for a second with me. And just think about, like, who really is in the room with me? Who's around me? What's happening? What if I get up and have to go out of here and wouldn't I trip over chairs? And I mean, how difficult would that be? Think about that for a moment. Open your eyes and think that, if we don't have our sight, then that's a difficult thing to go through. And you got to at least ask yourself, why am I blind and somebody else isn't? Why isn't my brother struggling like that? Why isn't my sister blind? Why isn't that person blind? Why is it me that can't see? And this guy is here, and he's certainly got to be asking this. And so people are coming, though. They're asking the question. They're asking, this guy's blind, Jesus. Why is it? Is it his fault? Is it his family's fault? Is it, whose fault is it? Who do we blame for this thing? And I love what Jesus says to him in verse 3. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." In other words, the thing that he didn't understand, the thing that they couldn't wrap their minds around, that he was born blind, it happened so that God could do something big in his life, that when his sight was restored, that there was this thing that happened, that God had touched him and done this amazing thing. And so now there's this understanding that God can do something big through our difficulties. So some of us in the room have gone through some tragic things, but there's a reason why. That maybe God wants to do something really big in and through you. I think about the fact that Kelly and I went through that situation with our child, and you know we've got four other ones who have gone on ahead of us as well. And we think about that, and why would that happen? Why would somebody go through so much pain? And I know why it is. We've been able to understand that it's because there's other people that we need to be able to minister to who've had the same thing happen, and we need to be able to demonstrate to them the love and care that they need through that. You see, there's a reason why, because God needed to use our pain to help somebody else. And so God's done something in your life, and maybe he needs to use your pain to minister to somebody around you. And you need to be willing to let him use it, not to become the victim of something, not to just let it be something that holds you down and holds you back, but allow God to use it for his glory, to let people know that he truly can be the hope, and he can be the one who brings you through those things. Maybe he wants to do something big in you. Think about the stories in the Old Testament of Joseph, who was betrayed by his brothers and thrown into a pit and then sold into slavery. And then he goes and all these things happen. He ends up in prison and accused of things and running for his life and all the things that go through it. But then eventually he works his way up to be second in command in all of Egypt. And it becomes this where God is able to use all that he went through to then be able to bless his family and save a nation. And think about that. Would you want to go through all of that to allow that to be something that God can use? I think if we really want to trust him, if we want to be all that he wants us to be, then we've got to be ready to let our hurts, to let our difficulties be something that he uses for his glory, something that other people can grow from. Joseph looked at him, his brothers, and he says, listen, what you meant for evil, God wants to use for good. And I'm telling you that as a church and as followers of Christ, we're going to have to look at some pretty difficult things and say, you know what? What the enemy wants to do to bring me down with, I got to look at it that God wants to do something good with. And we got to be willing to go through that and overcome it and see him move on. Got to be able to withstand the pain, to be able to understand. I think about just coming out of Easter. You know, I think about the disciples and all of those that were, you know, that Friday came and they watched Jesus go through all that he went through. To be whipped and beaten and tried and all of those things. And they watched him go through all of that, to be hung on a cross and to die there. And then after Friday, I think about what it must have been like on Saturday. They're sitting there thinking, what did I just see? How in the world can this be happening? You know, what Jesus was who we trusted, and he's the one that was going to be the one that saved us and all of that. And so I can't imagine what that would be like and how that would feel to watch somebody that you loved and cared about to be brutalized in such a way. But then I think about what Sunday morning must have been like when they heard that the stone was rolled away and that his body wasn't there. And then to just think that he did what he said he was going to do. I mean, think about it. Peter, they ran all the way down there to see this amazing thing that had just happened, that he's not there. He's alive. He's risen. I mean, some of you, listen, you need to understand, you're in Friday right now. And life is not going the way that you want, and you're facing some difficult things. But don't get stuck on Friday, because listen, Sunday's coming. And some of you need to know that Sunday's coming. That Sunday is there, that there's hope in the midst of the most difficult things. And see, one of the things that kind of drives me nuts about church is this, that you could be sitting on this side of the room going through the most hellacious things in your life. And over here on this side of the room, y'all don't have a clue what they're going through. And you could be sitting over here going through the most difficult things in your life, and none of you know what's going on with them. And I'm telling you that as a church, we don't have to know all the details, but I'm telling you, you need to know that there are people within your church that are going through difficulties. And if we're not praying for each other, we're missing out on the opportunity for God to do something big in it. And so I don't know how you pray, because I'll tell you how I pray a lot. I pray for me a lot. And I pray a lot for me. And then I pray a little bit more for me. Anybody with me? And sometimes I forget that this whole thing don't spin around me. And then God humbles me and reminds me that there's a lot of people that need me to be praying, that need me to be calling out their names and their situations and calling out for Him to do something amazing in it. And listen, you don't need to know specifics, but you just need to know that there's people in this room that need you. They need your prayers. They need you to care about them. Maybe they do need you to walk up and ask them, "How are you?" It was so cool this morning. I watched two people meet each other for the first time this morning. Both of them been here for like 2 years. And they met each other for the first time this morning standing out there in the lobby. It was such a cool thing. They didn't just say, "Hey, my name's such and such, and my name's such and such." They became friends. I think that's so cool. But I'm thinking, like, how many people have been here for 2 years that don't know somebody else has been here for 2 years? I think there's a lot of us. And how in the world are we ever going to let God do something big in the midst of all of us if we don't even know each other? Thank you. By golly, if ain't nobody else, the back wall is going to cry out. I'm telling you. That's some good preaching right there that got the walls to cry out. Amen. Sorry, that was pretty good. Whew. Yeah, amen. We got to do it. If we're going to let God do big things, I'm telling you, we've got to get out of our shells. We got to get out of the rut of church. If I could call it something else, I would, just so we, because hopefully it would make it different. But we got to have leaders who are meeting people who aren't leaders. And we got to have people who aren't leaders meeting leaders. And we got to be able to hear people who are doing things down the hall and with our kids. They need to know how much we appreciate them. They need to know it. If people are watching your kids while you're in here, please go tell them that you appreciate what they do. Don't just pick up your kids and go. Let them know. Because bless their heart, man, whenever I get long, I can feel them down there. I can feel the thoughts they're thinking of me. I know it's tough sometimes to get stuck down there in one of those rooms with those kids. I know it. They need it. We need each other. And so maybe God wants to do something big by bringing you into a relationship with somebody else who needs you to just love them and care about them. You need to be willing to see what it is that He wants to do. So those were a lot of maybes. There's one thing though that I know for sure. That for sure God is doing something in you when you go through difficult things. For sure. That He wants to do something in you. He is doing something to bring you to a new place in your life, to bring you to a new place in your relationship with Him. He for sure is doing something in you. It's up to you whether you choose to let it be something big, But he wants to let it do something in you to bring you to a place of being able to understand. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 is one of the most, it makes me mad, the scripture. Like, why do they have to write this one? I have a problem with James. I'm going to talk to him when I get to heaven and say, why in the world would you write some of the stuff that you wrote? Because here's what he says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Yeah, I bet, buddy. Trials of many kinds. Get out of here. Consider it pure joy. Yeah, right. Whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because what? You know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. James is exactly right. It's just hard to read that first line. To consider it joy to go through difficulties. To consider it joy to go through sexual abuse. To consider it joy to go through the death of a child. To consider it joy to go through a death of a parent. Consider it joy to go through being without a job. Consider it joy to go through a divorce. Consider it joy to go through, you know, financial difficulties. Consider it joy when bad things happen to good people. Really? But then when you read the second line, it says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance means that you get through it, that you are able to withstand more the next time, that you become tougher and stronger, and that you're able to take on more difficult things the next time, that God wants to do something in you. Consider it joy. See, I'm not talking about being happy, because too many of us want to be happy. And if we focus on happiness, and I'm telling you, when tough stuff comes, it goes away. He's saying consider it joy. Joy means that there is an overwhelming sense that you know that there is something good that can come out of this. That you don't have to focus on the ups and downs of life, that you can focus on the steadiness of Jesus and know that he will bring you through it. Consider it joy. That you go through it because if you have faith and you trust him and you hang in there, that he can do something in you that will amaze you. Here's something that I know about every single one of us. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter your spiritual background, if you believe in God or if you don't. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian. It doesn't matter if you're not. Every single one of you, if you live long enough, all of you have been through something that you didn't like. Something that was difficult to go through. Something that was life-altering. Something that you would have said, you know what, if I had my choice, I certainly wouldn't have chosen to get here that way. But we all go through it. We all get to the lowest point. We all find things that are difficult to go. And the thing I know about my lowest point is that when I looked up, that God was right there. He didn't leave me. He didn't let me go through it by myself. He was right there with me. And I know that about every single one of us, that when we go through it, that he's there. It's a matter of whether we realize it and whether we recognize him or not. I think about the very first funeral that I ever did. The first one I ever spoke at was my mom's, but the first one that I ever fully officiated and did was when I was pastoring at the High Rock Denton campus, and a friend of mine, this guy named Johnny Jernigan, who was about my age at the time, was just a good old boy, man, just a good guy, always smiling, just had, you know, he just had this kind of personality about him. I just loved Johnny. And I remember one day I was standing in the front lobby. I was looking out at the road, and I watched Johnny drive by. And I said, man, I wonder where Johnny's going. I bet he's going hunting right now. It was 1st of December. Wind was blowing like crazy. And Johnny drives by, and he gets a couple miles down the road, and the wind blows the top of a tree out. And it falls, and Johnny's going 55 miles an hour down the road, and a tree falls, and it collapses the cab of that truck as if it was parked and dropped on it. and it killed Johnny right there. Now, I remember a guy called me and he said, "Ron, Johnny's dead." I said, "Man, don't mess with me like that. I just watched him drive by." He said, "No, really. He's right down the road and he's gone." And I got in my car and I drove down there, and sure enough, Johnny was gone. And I'm thinking, what in the world? I mean, this guy, this carefree Johnny Jernigan, who all he wanted to do was to go kill a deer that day. And he's gone. And I remember thinking about that situation and how terrible it was. I remember having to go and follow the highway patrolman to go find his wife so that we could tell her what had happened. And I'm in shock myself. And I'll never forget these moments. And I'm thinking, God, why in the world? How could you let this happen? Like, where are you? Where were you when that happened? Because you could have stopped that. And so here I'm having these thoughts, and I'm going to meet this, you know, I really didn't know his wife very well. She didn't come to church with him very just once in a while, and I knew that she wasn't a believer in Christ. And I'm thinking, man, this is going to be terrible. And I remember, you know, going and having this conversation, and she had already heard. She knew what was going on, and it was just, it was crazy. And I remember, you know, going through the things, getting prepared for the funeral, and just all of those things. And I remember constantly just saying, why would this happen? But I remember going through that with his wife and trying to help her navigate through that. And I remember how God began to work, and it wasn't long until his wife began to come to church regularly then after Johnny's funeral. And she came to a place where she accepted Jesus as her Savior and completely changed. Some of you know her. She came here for a long time. Her name is Sandra. She came here, and the only reason she doesn't come now is just so far for her to drive, and she's doing a lot to take care of her family. She has a grandchild that has some special needs and stuff, but Sandra is the wife that came through all of that, and so the whole time I'm asking God, why are you doing this? And he's like, trust me. And eventually his wife comes to Jesus and becomes an amazing person, and it's just crazy. And so I'm telling you that sometimes we're asking God why, and we need to just be ready to let him do something big through those difficult things. We got to trust him through the most treacherous things to know that and consider it pure joy. You see, I didn't doubt who God was. I just didn't know what he was trying to accomplish through it. And I'll be honest, I wasn't experiencing a whole lot of joy in the moment because it hurt. But as I saw God in it and began to just keep trusting him in it, the joy of knowing, one, that I'd had a chance to baptize Johnny and knew that where he was at that moment, that I could have trust and faith in that and joy in it. And then to be able to see him move in Johnny's wife and his family and be able to know that, God, he just had a plan. And it was way bigger than what my little mind could comprehend. I'm telling you that, listen, why do bad things happen to good people? Sometimes there's just, you know, it's just the world we live in. Sometimes it's because we do make bad choices. Sometimes it's because God wants to do something big, but for sure that if we'll trust him, he's right there and he's doing something in us. He's trying to get us to somewhere that he wants us to be. And if we'll be willing to trust him, then I promise that he'll take you there. See, why do bad things happen to good people? It's the wrong question. It's just the wrong question to begin with. Because the Bible says that none of us are good. So the real question is, why do good things happen to bad people? Why do we get to celebrate some of the things we get to celebrate when we are bad as we are? Because, see, there was a good person who came and let something bad happen to him so the rest of us could be made good and to be made worthy of what he did. Jesus came. One good person came and did something so the rest of us bad people could have something good in our lives. Jesus came, paid the price on a cross, died there for us so our sins would be paid for, was taken off, buried, and raised again so that the bad people could be made good through his perfection and his sacrifice and could be made right with God for all eternity. That's the real truth. And so we get to celebrate that. Today, if you're feeling like you're a bad person, let me just tell you about my good person. It's Jesus. And he died for you just like he died for me. And he's there waiting for each one of us to make a decision to accept his gift of salvation so that we can be forgiven and set free of all the stuff that we've ever done. Good things, they get to keep happening to us. Bad things, they get to keep happening to us. But the good news is that Jesus paid the price and we don't have to really worry about it. Because in the end, it's all going to work out if we've made a choice to accept Jesus. We know where we're going and we get to spend it with him. Today, I don't know where you are in all of this, but let me just tell you, if you've been really worried about why bad things happen to good people, then let me just tell you, God is good. And all the time. That's right. Say it like you believe it, would you? God is good. And all the time. Amen. So today, if you're struggling with those questions, I need you to know the answer is that God, he's got something for you. That for sure, he wants to do something in you through it. And so I don't know what that means for each person. You got to work that out with him. I'll help you any way that I can. But today, we need to know that bad things happen to good people for some reason. But most of all, to know that God is there no matter how bad or how terrible it may seem. And you and I can experience his presence in our lives. God, we thank you today. God, we've all gone through things that we've questioned you about. We've wondered where you were. We've wondered why you would let it happen. We've wondered all of that. And the truth is, God, that you were right there the whole time. That nothing happened to us that didn't pass through your hands. That God, sometimes you know that things happen because of the world that we have created as humans, that it's just a sinful, broken place. God, sometimes you know that things happen to us, you allow them to happen because we've made choices that make them happen. But God, sometimes you let it happen so that something big can happen in us, so our lives can change, so others' lives can be changed. God, you have a reason. But God, no matter what, for sure, you want to do something in us through those difficult things. So God, today, from a bad person made good by you, God, I pray that you'll speak very clearly to us today. God, for some of us, we just need to confess our questions. We just need to be willing to come and just say, God, you know what? I've been asking you all these questions, and I've been blaming you for things that have happened to me. And God, I don't want to blame you anymore. I want to be healed. I want to be put back together. I just want you to be in my life, and I want you to show me what it is that you want to do in me through it. God, for some today, it's just a realization that none of us are good without you. That no, not one. And that God, that we need to confess your son Jesus as Lord, as Savior, to be forgiven and set free of the bondage of those questions. And God, we need to understand that your son has paid the price for all of our sin and that he's opened the door for us to be forgiven. We have to choose to go in it. So God, for those that may be here today that don't have that relationship, may today be the day that they ask you to forgive them of their sins, to come into their life, into their heart, and just live and guide them and show them what it is that you want for them. God, for those that have made that decision but been questioning you about so many things and just angry because they've had to suffer through some things, God, maybe today they just need to say they're sorry. Just confess that to you. You understand it. You know that it's there. You're just waiting for them to say they're sorry and to just love them where they are, to show them what it is that you have for them. God, some of us have been through some difficult things, and you've done amazing things through it to change us and change people around us through it. And so, God, maybe today we just need to come and be thankful for that thing that we've hated so much. And to be thankful, God, that you put it in our lives so that you could use it. God, I don't know what you need to do, but I'm asking you to do it during this next song, God, to do whatever it is you want to do in us. God, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.